Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Thursday, July the 2nd, and recovering from the result of the England game at the World Cup last night. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. We're going to start with one of our most read stories on the website today. The owners of a boat trip service in Maidstone have called for action to tackle antisocial behaviour after they were targeted with rocks and bottles. Now, the couple who run Kentish Lady Cruises have also reported being abused while out on the river in the town. Reporter Davina Jethwa has been covering this story and joins me on the episode. So, Davina, you've been speaking to Nick Kennedy and his wife. When did this happen and what more have they said about the abuse?
So the incident happened at around 6:30 p.m. on Sunday evening. Nick and his wife had been out on the water in one of their self-drive boats. They were passing Millennium Bridge when a group of teenagers began throwing stones, bottles, tree branches and at one point dog poo bags at them. During the incident, which lasted about 20 minutes, they also made sexual threats to Nick's wife and asked him to fight them.
And were they able to describe the offenders?
Yes, they say they were a group believed to be around 13 to 14 years old, and there were about 10 of them. Given how many of them that there were, and being in an out-of-way area like the river, Nick says he assumes that they were local.
You've also been in touch with police. What did they have to say?
A neighbour who had watched the events unfold had called the police at the time, but no officers attended. The force confirmed that they were called to the scene, but no one actually attended. A spokesperson said, "It is alleged that some of the teenagers made threats to a man and a woman on the boat before leaving the scene towards Hart Street. Officers have spoken to the victim and an investigation is underway, including a review of available CCTV. Police are also urging residents with private CCTV or drivers with dash cam to get in touch.
Davina, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
A convicted killer from Chatham who's awaiting sentence has admitted setting fire to a car in an unrelated incident. Mark Jesse was found guilty of murder following the death of Charles Belsham in November last year. The 51-year-old from Castle Road has pleaded guilty to an arson attack on a Range Rover. He'll be sentenced at the end of July. A former soldier from Sheerness who served in Iraq has been jailed after being found guilty of grooming and raping a child. A court was told some of the abuse even took place while Darren Sutton was living in barracks. The 53-year-old from Portland Terrace has been locked up for 18 years. A builder from Sandwich who conned people out of thousands of pounds then tried to avoid court by claiming he had cancer has been jailed. An investigation found Michael Rylands would convince victims to pay for work up front, but the jobs were never completed. The 44-year-old from Birch Avenue admitted 7 fraud offences. He's been sentenced to 22 months. Now, another heat health alert has been issued for Kent ahead of what's expected to be a pretty scorching weekend. Temperatures could hit 30 degrees again, which is not quite as high as the last heat wave, but the yellow health warning will be in force from Saturday until next Wednesday. Dr. Carl Wright is a climate expert from Canterbury, and he says it's something we need to get used to.
Well, I just came back a couple of weeks ago from big United Nations climate talks in Bonn in Germany, which is the sort of thing that takes place every year. And clearly people there were very worried about us exceeding the famous 1.5 centigrade target, which was set by the Paris Conference, you might remember 10 years ago, which said that, you know, if we exceed 1.5 degrees centigrade over industrial levels, it's going to really create these kind of heat waves. And I think we're seeing the consequences of it now. And all the official statistics from the Met Office, from the official UK Climate Change Committee reports, from the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which we discussed in Bonn, all of these underline that we're going to get really hotter summers, extreme heat waves, droughts, and paradoxically, perhaps in winter, wetter winters and potential biblical level rainfall.
How concerned should we be about this, and what's the kind of impact of this changing climate?
Very concerned. I mean, it's going to have huge impacts. We've seen it already. You know, people are suffering terribly. Older people, I mean, I think I haven't seen the figures for UK, but I think in France, something like 1,000 older people, mainly older people, died because of the heat waves and just couldn't cope with it. And I think some of our figures would be near that. That's perhaps the most extreme thing. But, you know, think of our animals, think of the wildlife effect. Think of our farmers in Kent. My local farm shop, just up the road from where I live outside Canterbury, has stopped producing wonderful strawberries, which they used to do and we used to pick and get. simply because there's so much drought now and hot summers that they haven't got the irrigation to deal with it. Think of the breakdown in the water systems now. It's also to do with the appalling lack of investment by water companies, but it is also accentuated by the heat and the demand. We've had no water in Whitstable and in places like Tunbridge Wells and the sewage overspills. So it's actually here already, so we should be very worried.
Kent Online reports.
A Canterbury couple have revealed how they took their son to hospital with a cut finger, only to be told he had cancer. Alice and Matt Stiller were concerned a wound on Henry had become infected, but medics noticed he was pale and did blood tests. The three-year-old was found to have leukaemia and has since had chemotherapy. He's now in remission. You can read their story in full today by heading to the website. A car dealership in Sittingbourne remains closed a year after a wall collapsed, causing thousands of pounds worth of damage. The owner of T-Bowl's vehicle sales says he's had to take on odd jobs and work as a mechanic just to stay afloat. Work to repair the wall still hasn't started due to an insurance battle over who's responsible. More than 500 homes could be built on farmland on the edge of Paddock Wood. Developers say they want to create a community off Badsall Road and Maidstone Road, a site which is already allocated for development in the council's local plan. We're told if approved, 40% of the properties would be classed as affordable. Next on today's episode, and the chairman of a Kent football club is planning to get a tattoo as part of a fundraising campaign for a coach who has pancreatic cancer. Paul Squires is hoping to go to Portugal for life-saving treatment, but needs £55,000 to pay for it. He volunteers at Hempstead Valley FC, along with Steve Ty, who's agreed to get the club's badge inked on his leg. He's never had a tattoo before, but says he's happy to do it for a good cause.
I'm going to be having a tattoo. It was an idea that came up from presentation day this year. So I'm going to have a nice Hempstead Valley badge tattooed on the back of my calf. Yeah, not one I'm particularly looking forward to, if I'm honest. I've never had a tattoo, never wanted a tattoo. And the idea of it is kind of a... Yeah, I don't think it's the actual tattoo itself. It's more the fact I'm going to have something on my leg for the rest of my life. It's probably a little bit daunting. But no, so for my presentation day, we had some temporary tattoos that we're doing. It's just things that we do as like fundraisers. Usually it's like fundraisers for the club. Obviously this year we changed our fundraising to support Paul because he's obviously desperately needing it at the moment. So... but these tattoos, I put one on the back of my calf and I did a bit of a trend set. I went around and I shined all the lads in all the teams, and we had lots of different ages running around with sort of temporary tattoos on the back of the leg. And then we had a bit of a talk afterwards, and I think I can't even remember who I was talking to. It was a very long, busy day. But we suggested about having, I said about having having one put on, try and raise some extra money. So, yeah, I mean, with Paul, Paul... has been a coach of the club for the last 15 to 16 years. And in February, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Initially, there's limits, obviously, what they can do in the UK, and they've put him on chemotherapy to try and reduce the size of it, to remove it. But Marta, his wife, basically, she's absolutely amazing. I've got to tell you, she's really, really amazing. She contacted every specialist virtually probably in the world, and has found someone who has quite clearly said, yeah, we can operate on that, we can do that and save your life. So, but it's just a huge expense. It's like it's about £55,000 in total. It's something that he's going to need relatively quickly. And for any of us, I think trying to raise that amount of money, unless you're sitting on lots and lots of savings, trying to raise that sort of money that quick. But the response has been amazing. I think it's over 23,000, I think, at the moment, in terms of what he's been able to raise. And this is just as an addition to that. And it's not so much about getting the additional funding on to, because I've set up a separate separate GoFundMe. It's not really about how much that raises to it. It's more of just trying to keep the attention on it and keep people and keep people donating as well.
Kent Online reports.
Plans to transform an old amusement site in Herne Bay have been given the go-ahead. The Tivoli attraction will be demolished to make way for a four-storey block of flats with shops on the ground floor. It's part of a wider regeneration project in the area, which includes the neighbouring Beach Street car parks. A cinema in Canterbury will welcome customers for the final time today. The Curzon in the Westgate part of the city is closing after 12 years. Bosses say the decision was based on changing audience habits. They'll continue to run screens at the Riverside Leisure Complex. Now, artwork and toy models found by the family of the Kent co-creator of Bagpuss are going up for auction. They've been discovered at Peter Firmin's home near Canterbury, which is being cleared before it's sold. 400 lots in total are set to go under the hammer at a special two-day sale on July the 31st and August the 1st. Well, Peter's daughter, Katie, has been speaking to our reporter, Jerry Warren.
Katie, now you've had the task of going through your father's old belongings. He lived here for many, many years. So what have you been unearthing?
Well, yes, I was actually born in this house. And recently we've put it on the market to sell. And so we're trying to clear out. And we found just phenomenal amounts of artwork of Dad's. He never really threw anything away. I think having the space and, you know, not needing to, he kept everything and very well catalogued. We found original artwork going back to the 60s, but also unpublished books that we didn't even know about, that maybe a publisher didn't want to take up. We found scripts and letters and all sorts from publishers. And yeah, it's been amazing. And we just felt, you know, it would be so lovely for people out there to have a little slice of, you know, the nostalgia that is the world that my dad created.
Indeed, and it's a huge amount. I understand about 400 lots are going to auction.
Absolutely, 400 plus, yes.
But you've kept some things back for yourself that have a sentimental value.
We have, you know, particularly a lot of art that Dad did in his spare time, what he called his real art, you know, we're very fond of. And so we've all, including our children and the grandchildren, you know, kept, you know, things that we love and want to treasure, put on our walls. And yeah.
But it's been quite an emotional journey, I imagine, going through.
It has, yes, definitely. You know, it's like brings back lots of memories, but also reminds you of what a meticulous man he was, how much passion he had for his work, and, you know, working with Oliver and creating so many characters.
And some things, I believe, you've also left to museums.
We have, yes. We have a collection of the puppets in the Beanie Museum in Canterbury, and we're in the process of gifting them and others to the nation so that everyone can enjoy them forever.
And you can follow us on socials today to see incredible pictures of Kent taken from the iconic Goodyear blimp. You might have seen it flying over the county yesterday on its way from Calais to London. A pilot on board has shared photos of landmarks, including Canterbury Cathedral.
Kent Online Sport.
Away from the World Cup, but staying with football, Gillingham's players are due to report back to start pre-season training today. The squad has been rebuilt over the summer after 16 players were released at the end of their last campaign. They'll play friendlies against Millwall, Dover and Charlton this month before kicking off League Two against Walsall on August the 15th. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials, plus you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And whilst you're on the site today, don't forget to check out the latest Eat My Words food review.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online podcast.